Welcome to the King James Virgin, where each and every week, my friends Alan and Adam recount Bible stories from their childhoods. To me, I've never heard them before. My name is Nick.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Adam.
Welcome back.
We're back, baby!
That was pretty good.
That was. Each and every week.
During the break. What is the most biblical thing you've done?
I now look like Jesus.
You do.
So
is this the longest your hair's ever been?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm the barber in our family. So
the barber wears no shoes.
I cut.
Is that how?
Well, now I just cut Ashley's hair, my wife. So Ashley has a very like trim haircut. Mm-hmm. And then me and the boys have just billowing hair.
I guess in the break, the most biblical thing you did is create life.
No, I did that right before the break.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I had a kid and then, stopped podcasting.
Adam, what's the most biblical thing you've done?
I split an ocean in half and walked through it.
I mean, we all know about that.
I'm trying to think, what the fuck did, I spent 40 days and 40 nights inside during the pandemic is probably the most biblical thing that I did.
And then on the 41st day, he kicked down the door and was like, fuck this, I'm done.
On the 41st day,
I've done my duty.
I sent out some doves and found out that,
I mean, I think I've eaten most of the unclean meats, you know, in the last couple of years.
I still haven't had ostrich, and I really want. I remember when the local Mexican restaurant got ostrich as like it was on a banner, and my mom and I went down a deep dive to find out if it was clean or not, if we could have the ostrich.
Why couldn't you have ostrich?
It's apparently unclean.
It's a bird.
I know, but it's apparently included in the unclean section.
It's like the giraffe loophole.
Yes.
Where it's too confusing.
It's too big. It's too long. I don't know. Cut it out.
Yeah, that's fair. Nick, do you remember any of that? Has the Bible left your mind?
There's some like cloven feet things in there.
I got to be honest. I'm a little nervous about doing this episode because I have noticed in the last year or so that when Al and I are talking, there are biblical references that I have to take a minute to remember.
Oh,
which is good for my soul. Uh-huh. Not so great for comedy.
So it's leaving you more, but not you, Alan.
No.
Okay.
No, I have not read the Bible.
Yeah. You're back on the sauce.
That's gotta feel better.
Yeah.
You fell off the weird wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was enjoyable. Strong.
Congratulations on, having children. We hope you had a nice break. Welcome back to reading the Bible.
Yeah. And a lot of Wikipedia.
Uh huh.
This story is a short, so I probably read more Wikipedia than Bible for
did
this
you,
episode.
Before we get going, did you find out information that surprised you?
Yes and no.
Okay.
There's a bit that is tangentially related to this story. Maybe one we'll do next episode. That is very fun and I think you will enjoy a lot. So I'll pull that in at the end.
Okay.
For listeners though, you know, the three of us have maintained a text thread, and by thread I mean anytime Adam or I find a Bible meme on the internet, we send it to Nick and he doesn't care at all.
I
don't understand.
The thread does not really involve me because I look at the image and think I have no way to respond to this because I don't believe I know about this.
Yeah, why did you send this to me?
Yep. We just like to include you.
Thank you.
Should we jump in?
Yeah. Well, I have a question for Nick.
Yeah.
So, today we are talking about Solomon.
Okay. Solomon.
Do you know anything about Solomon?
King.
Okay. Yes.
That's where it ends, baby.
Okay.
So there's a few modern references to Solomon.
He's Song of.
Sure.
He theoretically wrote it. Okay. And I'm guessing Alan's going to tell me that no, he didn't.
I have not looked into it at all.
King and musician.
I hope we...
not musician.
Songwriter.
Yes, lyricist. Okay.
I hope we never do a Song of Solomon episode. I do not want to read that.
Just it's the closest... By the way, Song of Solomon is the closest that Christians get to porn. Or like our literatica is probably more...
And you don't want to read that?
Erotic fiction.
So
nice.
So
it's just romantic. A lot of it's just a romantic poetry.
When I was very young, I found a like relationship, and I'm sure Adam's parents have this as well.
Probably.
But like a sex life book based on the Song of Solomon.
Oh.
My mom, I tended to just skip and go right to the source because she actually liked to bone.
Okay.
Well, I'm putting that out there.
Anyway, there's like a lot of Solomon stuff in Mason Masonic stuff as well.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I don't know if you heard that. That's not what we're talking about today, though.
Okay.
No, and the other thing that...
Dan Brown is not involved today.
No. The other thing that I thought you might have a reference to is wisdom. Like a lot of people talking about the wisdom of Solomon. He was a very wise king. Is
absolutely.
Kind not. Of the... Okay, no? Good, mm-hmm. great.
Nothing. Great. After today, you'll know why.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first piece of...
Let's place ourselves, can we?
Yeah, yeah. So that was actually, like, that's okay. actually what I was okay, going to do. And then I had a second that I suddenly thought I might be wrong. So Alan, you're gonna have to correct me here.
I'm gonna hold back corrections as much as possible okay. until the end.
It's either son or grandson, and I'm pretty sure it's son. Is it son?
Of whom?
Of the person I'm gonna talk like of he's the son of David.
Okay.
Okay, that is correct.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it's son or grandson.
Do you remember whose mom is?
Bathsheba, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
nice.
Right. Okay, so it is like all right. So you remember David the Bathsheba, the uh-huh. whole like peeping Tom.
Yep.
Yeah. So their kid
okay.
that he just like lustfully couldn't help but, you know, tap the neighbor, created Solomon, and Solomon became king hereditarily. The reason I couldn't remember is if Jonathan was involved, if that was, I couldn't remember. No, Jonathan, like, suicide pact with his lover.
Something like wow. that.
Doesn't okay. matter. Anyway, so Solomon's king, he becomes kind of notorious for a couple of things. The first one is alliances via marriage. He had shit tons of wives
okay.
All through marriage. Well, of course, through
sounds marriage, biblical,
all through alliances, mm-hmm. like conceptually. And so like the reign of Solomon's a pretty peaceful time because it's diplomatically that way. He also is apparently really good at judging scenarios and coming up with unique and really sneaky ways of deciding how to solve problems, which is what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Is one of his sneaky ways of selling. So
yeah, he'd
be good on Taskmaster is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes. I should just take a little comma though and say, if we use this as the biblical definition of marriage, which people often like to cite the biblical definition of marriage,
right. yeah.
that would be the relationship between one man, 700 wives and 300 concubines. So
great.
Jesus.
Just how it should be.
Yep. That's what God intended.
Imagine managing whatever. That is the big and to M-dash his comma.
Okay.
Alan has now been watching Taskmaster recently and they've gotten into it. So like
great.
If anybody out there isn't watching the British version of Taskmaster, highly recommend.
Do yourself a favor.
Semicolon. I enjoy it a lot.
Apparently
parenthetical. We started at season 10 though, which I know is a mistake.
Oh, what?
It's not a mistake.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
There's very little, like, whatever.
I think I'm out of ways to extend that sentence. Don't you fucking bring an ellipses to the table.
I'm not going to bring an ellipses to the table. Yeah, I think you're right. We could add more commas and ellipses or parentheticals.
Sure, yeah.
Tell the story, Adam.
Yeah, so apparently there are king days when the public can just wander in with problems. I don't know if there was a regular schedule thing or whether it was part of the judicial system and you got eventually like
seems like
raised up to king
more progressive than like current monarchical systems where I don't think anybody's just allowed on any day to walk into a palace and address a king.
No.
And be like, hey, you want to hear about my bunions?
I don't think Charles like has days when you can just wander in and go, I have a grievance. Uh-huh. But Solomon held days apparently. And so, in comes these two women who both go, that is my child. And it is not their child. It is my child. And there's a massive dispute over, and they go round and 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 round.
Classic Maury situation.
Correct. There isn't a lot, to my understanding, to my recollection, there's not a lot of backstory on how any of the confusion got started. Like there was a babysitter situation.
There is.
Excellent.
There's a babysitter situation?
I don't know.
There is not.
Okay.
There is.
I was going to say, I backstory.
There is backstory that I am shocked Adam is not remembering.
Shit. Oh. It's going to hurt me when this is what I'm saying. There's bits that are disappearing. Mm-hmm. So they get in there. They're like, this is my child. No, it's my child. No, it's my child. No, it's my child. And finally, someone's like, enough. I'm going to solve this once and for all. And basically solved it the way that my mom solved a lot of food problems in our house is one of you gets to cut it and the other one gets to choose it. That's how my mom solved it. That's not what Solomon said. Solomon said, I'm going to cut the baby in half and you'll both get a piece of the baby.
I'm sorry. Can we go back to the food thing?
Yeah.
One of you cuts it. One of you choose it.
Choose which. So here's basically, let's say there's a single piece of chocolate that is large enough for two people to share.
Uh-huh.
And my sister and I, Ashley and I wanted to have chocolate.
Yeah.
The rule was One of you gets to cut it, like break it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other one gets to choose between the two pieces.
Gets to choose.
Not it. Chew it, as in C-H-E-W.
I was imagining, I was like, man, the cutter really just gets the shaft in that situation. Just cutting and feeding and cutting and feeding. You take the chew position in that.
And the swallowing is both.
It's pretty brilliant parent move, though.
It really
works. Because it encourages the cutter to be as like precise as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
it worked. But Solomon basically goes, that's your option. I'm going to cut the baby in half and you get half and then you're both happy. And one of them goes, that's fine. I believe in the king's justice and this is the just way to go. And the other one goes like, no, just give the baby to the other person. I don't care. I want to give the baby away. And Solomon goes, you fell into my baby trap, and gives it to the woman who said, don't kill the baby, give it to the other woman.
Right.
And presumably nothing happens to the woman who tried to kidnap the baby. Mm-hmm. And then the Bible then waxes on philosophically waxes on about how marvelous Solomon was to come up with this. I mean, granted, at some point somebody had to do this trick. So maybe this was the first time somebody made the, like using, you know, what's the logic thing? Shit. Reverse psychology. I mean, maybe this is the first time it happened.
Sure. Much more. This is, you know, when we started doing the podcast, I had this idea of like the biblical thing of being more like parable.
Oh, like the Aesop's.
And yeah. And it turned out that basically none of what we covered was that. This is the most like that of, I think, any of them that we've done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aside from some of the like Jesus lessons.
This is probably the most Aesop-y of the Old Testament.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely has Old Testament vibes. We're cutting babies in half. That's old.
So that's the story. Adam, would you like to feel ashamed about what you missed?
Yeah. What did I miss?
You actually missed the part that I was referencing, the thing that created a deep-seated fear for me that I only as a parent had to get over.
Oh, I assume you just meant like the death of a child.
So two women come. The Bible goes out of the way to say that they're both harlots. So,
oh.
Just so we know.
So two women come actually do apply here. Oh, well,
probably not. And one of the, they both had children, fresh children. Right.
One of them was stillborn.
No.
Oh,
So the third day after I had given birth, both women gave birth at the same time. And one of the women rolled over on her son in the middle of the night.
I do forget. Fuck.
Wow. Wait, which one?
The one whose baby
had died. So one of the women's babies had died.
They weren't sleep all in the same bed. It was two women, two different beds.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Right.
So the woman who rolled over on her baby and killed it in the middle of the night then swapped babies.
That's right.
So she stole the other woman's baby and put her dead baby with the other woman.
I'd forgotten about that. That is a huge piece of this. That was like, this feels, there's like more to this.
Mm-hmm. And the non-baby murder woman said, indeed, he was not my son who I am had born when I examined him in the morning. So that was the start of the argument, is there was like a dead baby swap.
Do you examine your children every morning to be sure they're yours?
No, but I definitely had this fear of co-sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, we eventually broke down when our oldest was sick. It was like, he just was not sleeping, you know? And so we eventually kind of brought him and I just like had him on my chest in the middle of the night and he actually slept and was like, oh, okay.
Apparently this
is actually okay. You probably shouldn't do it with like newborns.
Right.
But
did you have that like paralyzed fear of like, I can't move?
Oh God. Yes. Yeah. But, you know, due in part to this story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a rough fucking story.
Do you not remember this? Like
now you say
like
that.
Instilling this like fear of, like, well, you can't sleep with your children.
Yeah. What's weird is I think it was so subliminal that I didn't even associate with the story that like this story has just gotten in there. And I just assumed that, that people roll over and kill their babies.
And the rest of it, you pretty much nailed.
Okay.
I mean, I do like the line and the king said, bring me a sword. It's very dramatic.
Good dramatic effect.
Yeah.
I think that was a voice with much more gravitas than like in my brain. It's like, bring me a sword. I see Solomon as like very tall and very like gangly.
Uh-huh. Would not be able to cut somebody in half with a sword.
I'd take a couple goes.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, it wouldn't be clean.
But yeah, the rest of it is right. And then everyone was like, man, that guy's so smart.
Look at that guy. Like using reverse psychology.
Look at him.
While they were stoning the other woman.
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing?
Probably.
I mean, I assume that both of them then signed up to be concubines.
They probably were.
Oh, fuck. It wasn't even like public day. This was just like an inter-house domestic right, dispute. Yeah.
I mean, besides this not being true whatsoever, it was probably two of his concubines. Yeah. Probably his kids.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Yeah. He just like, well, let me, I'll I don't just know. Cut, I'll just cut down baby number 7,000.
It does say they're harlots. So maybe that
just implies that the writer didn't feel fondly about them.
Yeah. So,
I could imagine a Jewish or like a Jewish scholar going, well, one of the king's harlots, meaning that one of the concubines.
Maybe. I think the harlots was used to imply that these women didn't care about children.
I agree.
I mean, it's obviously in there to intentionally disparage the women.
Yes. Totally.
You know, like the whole Bible.
Yeah. We'll be right back here on the King James Virgin.
One thing, well, there's a lot of interesting things about this, but one thing that I didn't know until I was reading articles about this story is Solomon's name is never actually mentioned in this story.
Really?
Just the king? The king.
God.
Which is why, again, like the whole Bible, I don't know why we even single out stories, but people think this is more of like a folk tale.
I mean, it absolutely feels like a folk tale. Like it doesn't read like any sort of, sometimes these stories have weird like didos that seem make them feel more like reality or like, well, why did you go there? It doesn't make any, like, but this feels like an encapsulated story that was crafted over time to tell a point.
It feels like a minstrel, like there's a narrator to the story, not just like someone's writing down history.
Yeah.
Well, was Solomon like an actual king person?
Yes. And I've dug into that a little bit. I think we might just have a separate Solomon episode. Actually we'll do this with the building. I'm miming a building.
The building.
Solomon's Temple?
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do a Solomon's Temple episode.
We should definitely do it.
Temple. And in that one, we'll talk about the actual Solomon. So
his ark?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Probably not.
I just wondered if, like, in the your scholarship that you've been reading, if it was indicated that, like, maybe they're not talking about Solomon in this passage.
I would venture to be, they're not talking about anybody.
Right.
There are scholars that think it is Solomon. There are scholars that think it is just a unnamed king.
Yeah.
They're divided. Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's a consensus, kind of like with the existence of Solomon.
But the wisdom gets ascribed to Solomon.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's in Kings.
Yeah. We're right at the beginning of Kings too. Like Kings kicks off. This is Kings 3. First Kings 3. So it kicks off with like, and David was old and then he had a couple kids
and
Solomon was like the third or the fourth born.
I feel like there's something around the idea of how he got chosen, how he got the, you know, cause he wouldn't have been the heir apparent.
No, there was at least two brothers older than him.
That got killed in battle maybe?
You know, after he was proclaimed. So Bathsheba went to bat for him, convinced David. David gave his blessing. Oh, Solomon was crowned and then had his brothers killed.
I mean,
you do, like you still do in some countries in this planet.
I was also going to say like, that's for this entire story. That's very like Jacob and Esau. It's like the favorite, you know, like pushing the favorite child from the favorite wife to the, you know, like it's all
the little boy with the hot mom.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically she was the hottest of moms.
Sure.
In Israel.
Sources.
Like TMZ, circa negative or not negative, BC, I guess. I mean, BCE.
Did it talk about how hot she was or just that she bathed?
Because
that's a positive.
I believe that I and you added color commentary to add.
Sure.
Hotness is implied.
Hotness she bathed implied. And you wanted to see it.
Correct.
That was definitely implied. Yes.
But there's also like, as being
like a Porky's
cishet sort of male, there is a certain percentage of like, naked women, naked people are attractive to a certain extent.
Sure. And also not a whole lot going on. So if somebody is bathing and you are able to catch a glance, it's something to do.
Absolutely. And
though in this case, there was a war going on. because David sent her husband to the front lines to be killed.
Yeah. And I mean, but it also should be said, like, she was a bit of an exhibitionist in the story.
Bathing on the roof.
Right. Like, yeah, she knew that the king had line of sight.
Right, right.
And if she didn't, that's a worrisome.
Yeah. So there's a ton of other versions of this story in other cultures.
Oh, really?
There's a version with the Buddha where the bad woman is actually like a shapeshifter who kidnaps the baby.
Hell yeah.
And instead of a sword, it's a tug of war where they like draw a line and it's like pull the baby across the line. And the woman's like, no, I don't want to hurt the baby. And then there's a super old.
Somehow it seems more brutal than the cutting in half.
Well, like I'm like seeing like split the baby in half.
And there's a super old Chinese play from like the 1200s or something called The Chalk Circle. That's basically the same thing. I have a question for you, Adam.
Okay.
Cutting the baby.
Yeah.
Hamburger or hot dog?
A hot dog.
Really?
I was thinking hot dog.
I mean, that's a tougher cut.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. That's all bone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like if you do it right, you're splitting the spine in half.
I mean, I guess that would be the fairest way to cut a baby in half.
Yeah, of course. I think that's my assumption.
Because then these two women would come next week and say, now, wait a minute. I got the shitting half.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because it's still shitting. Still Google.
In my mind, even though it does not make sense, it's hamburger just because it's easier.
That's so interesting. I always assumed it was hot dog because it would have to be. Even though it is inconceivable. Like, how would you do that correctly?
Yeah. And not that it matters because it's just the... What if they both had been like, yeah, okay.
I presume it wouldn't be in the Bible then.
I mean, there are worse things in the Bible.
Yeah, but can you imagine, like, the story doesn't really have an end. It was just a bad thing that happened.
Yeah, so Solomon cut a baby in half.
And thus they went home with their hot dogs.
I'm trying to think, because, like, the babies that I've seen have proportionally... really, really long legs. Is that true?
What?
Maybe I'm thinking maybe what it is like they always have saggy diapers, so I think that their legs are longer. Here's what I'm thinking is like, if you did a hamburger cut, you could potentially still have a live child just like taking off its legs.
Okay.
This isn't a good thought.
Babies have big heads.
They do have big heads.
The rest of them are rather small.
But the ones that Adam has seen, their legs go on for miles.
I'm hearing it. It sounds much, much worse than I was trying to say. Potentially the hamburger baby could have survived.
Okay. I mean, like, yeah, I guess if like,
what am I saying?
If like one of the current Supreme Court justices cut a baby in half and we have modern medicine,
mm-hmm.
Right.
There's your TMZ headline. Hamburger baby survives.
But in like what? 600 BC.
Yeah,
probably not.
No. I mean, there's a decent chance that baby didn't survive regardless,
but better chance, cut in half versus, ripped apart.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would assume.
In the ripping apart across the line.
Oh, wait,
does each person get a hand and a foot, or does someone get two hands and two feet?
I'm going like diagonal. Like somebody gets the left hand, you get the right foot.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You get two limbs. You get two limbs.
Oh. All right.
I in my brain the pulling was just two arms.
Oh. See, but you said the rack, and so I assumed mm-hmm. like
Yeah. No, that makes more sense.
Foot, hand.
Yeah. None of these are good options.
The saddest part of this is the story to tell you how smart Solomon is.
Yep.
And this is very important to like, you know, our grandparents and stuff. They're like, yes, Solomon was very wise.
I'm
because of the baby thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, need we remind you about
because
the baby
Bible,
thing?
The Bible says Solomon is smart. You believe in the Bible. So, you know, Solomon was smart.
I feel like Alan is slightly underselling how like much of an existential crisis I'm having right now in this thought in that like the concept is Solomon was literally the wisest man that ever lived. Not that he was wise, but he was the wisest man that ever lived. And like God gave him this gift of like, and I think there's earlier stories where like God ordained him to be wise.
Yeah.
You will be the wisest. I'll look that up. And I'm realizing now that the evidence for that statement is this story.
That's pretty crazy.
And I'm saying that story out loud and going, this is I was making fun of it as we were going about how ridiculously unsophisticated this story is.
It's not even a good Aesop's.
No.
It's a short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is making me very depressed.
Aesop would have like a little bit of like a prequel to it
and a talking animal.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe like someone's tail on fire.
Yes.
Probably.
And figs.
That was
the
just
the baby a, would be full of figs.
The figs were just in Aesop's personal life.
I think you're right.
They didn't make it into the fable.
So that would be in the story beforehand that the baby was actually feeding on figs.
Yeah.
And that's why the mom rolled over on her.
Yes. Well, and it would just all be animals. Like the evil mom would be a fox, obviously.
Uh-huh. I guess foxes are evil. Foxes are malicious.
Yeah. The point that Adam and I feel aren't totally making is like, we joke about this stuff, but like our parents and grandparents think this is the smartest man who's ever lived based on little to no evidence.
And also without jumping.
That's a little scary to like, it's
I think the thing is like how it's siloed into like somebody who can become a medical doctor and still also believe this.
Yeah. And without jumping ahead, maybe two stories that we may cover it. Do they also use that as like, is he full of some bullshit as well? Like there are like indefensible things that he does or says that are just like, oh, well, I mean, but he's the wisest.
He tried to cut a baby in half.
No, he didn't. He knew.
That's true.
Because he's wise.
No, you're a good point.
Perhaps the wisest I've ever heard of.
Because he knew. He ran the probability.
Yeah. Well, and like the like side justifications as well. Like the Bible tells us this is the smartest person ever. He used marriage as a diplomacy thing. So that's also good and okay. And I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's a lot of things like, yeah, we clearly, because we run into this thing exactly where it's like, well, it was a different time is the answer to this. Like, well, you can't have it both ways. So you're either taking your definition of marriage from the Bible or you're not. You can't just say like,
and you're either the wisest of all time
or not.
Yeah,
man. I kind of forget how digging back into the Bible makes me like
so angry,
get like a weird pit in my stomach about my entire upbringing and people in my life. Hmm. Good times.
Bury that sadness and some figs.
So happy to be back here.
Ooh, I could go for a Fig Newton.
I have them in my car.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But let's do a Temple of Solomon because the one thing I dangled, in front of Adam is, so next time we'll do a Temple of Solomon episode, in 2 years and
Legends of the Temple of Solomon.
That sounds so much cooler than what it actually ends up. Well, it is important.
Just children running through and getting obliterated by foam walls.
It's like little thin wires and like as they can just.
So in
split in the babies.
There are some like side folklores in I think Judaism where Solomon had a shamir. It is a giant rock eating worm.
What the
that
fuck?
Helped him make the temple.
There's a sandworm on.
Nice.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, we're getting a picture?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. All
who? Right. So next time we're going to get into the temple, but also the like, this is where we start to get into the weird like Knights Templar stuff.
This is the shit that I might still be a Christian if I had been taught as a kid.
I'm already intrigued. Like the rock, like, so it eats rock.
Yes.
Does that mean, so I'm trying to envision how it's helping build something.
Presumably
so does
it poops just out bricks?
Okay, this is what I'm thinking. Does it build via the opposite end then?
like a deer pellets, they're just like perfectly spherical.
You
like
milk it a little bit where you want.
This is actually a creature that's above in your Tetris game. Yeah.
Just spitting out different shaped in
the original Dr. Mario.
So today's episode is the base of like Solomon smart.
Got it.
So next time we'll get into Solomon builds something.
Perfect.
And may
smart
not
man builds
existed.
Great. Well, thanks for popping back in. We'll see you some other time.
What was our sign off? I don't remember our sign off.
We didn't.
Did we not have a sign off at all? We had some sort of sign off. Oh, I had the whole thing. Thanks to my the whole thanks to Mascaras.
Yeah.
Theme song Kicksati off the album Elmoran. Fuck me. I'll have to listen to it and redo it. I also want to add, I think we can do right before Alan tells the extra bit. I think we can add, we'll be right back here on the King James Version.
Why?
Just to keep form.
All right. Yeah. It's like a 12-minute episode.
I mean, we're at 32 minutes.
So where we slot in the ad eventually.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for the
sponsors. That's it though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much for listening. You can follow us at KJVPod on both Twitter and Instagram, assuming Twitter exists in the future. But we're going to try to be doing this maybe quarterly-ish. We'll see how that shakes out. But the best way to follow us is on Instagram and Twitter to see when it's coming. Or I guess, you know, keep signed up and we'll just pop up randomly in your podcast feed. But thanks to Mascaras and Resurrection Records for these for a theme song, Kixadi, off the album El Moran. And this week's song is actually a project that Nick worked on. Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
It's a compilation of various artists, a tribute album to Genevieve Castre, O-Pon, and Wolf were her musical project. The album is O. You can find that at opon.bandcamp.com. That's opaon.bandcamp.com. You can buy a beautiful gatefold record or a digital download. All of the proceeds of that go to the Fred Hutchinson Center Cancer Research.
And if you haven't gotten enough Nick and Adam, we've got a side project called None of This Is Real, our EEL, and you can find that by, you know, all of the podcasting things, Spotify, iTunes, or I guess it's just Apple Podcasts now. All of the places, but also None of This Is Real, REEL.com.
And that does it for us this week. Until next week, remember, Solomon backwards is Nomalos, and splitting babies backwards is Sabad Dilps.
You son of a bitch.
I didn't expect it to be that dumb.
Thank you. by Sonic Bazaar.